Test, test. The Lord be with you. So actually, let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, you are good to us. Lord, you have blessed us with so many things. You've blessed us with the ability to worship you with music, with our hearts. Now, Lord, as we worship with our minds, help us to hear what you have to say in your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you are always good to us, that you forgive us of our sins, and you cleanse us to be holy, to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, we get to recognize the graduates in our midst. So if you're a graduate, could you stand up? Well, just two of them. It's okay. Let's clap for that. So I was thinking of you guys as I was writing this. Well, actually, I was thinking of a couple more, but it's all right. Okay, so especially the high school graduates, you guys are heading off to college soon. And I've seen you grow and mature for the last 2 years, begun to see you become the young men and women of God. I've been able to worship with you and teach you the Word of God. And if nothing else, I hope that you've learned that the Bible is full of mystery and wonder, and we could spend the rest of our lives studying it. We've been able to laugh and play games together, to experience the bond of Christian fellowship. I think it's safe to say that I am the undisputed champ of Chubby Bunny, right? Now, it is my honor and privilege to congratulate you and celebrate with you. Can we give the graduates another round of applause? Yay! See you guys. And then there's Sam, and then there's Lily, Nathan, Winston. Now, as you head off to college, remember, college is what you make of it. It's a place where you can choose what kind of person you want to become, who you want to surround yourself with, how you want to spend your time and your money. You guys are adults now. So as much as it is my honor to congratulate you today, it's also my responsibility to encourage you and counsel you about what comes ahead. Now, as excited as you all are to enter college, you must know that it is also a time of intense testing of your faith. So I leave you with these words to consider. Now, memorize them, hide them in your heart, they will serve you well. And the text is in our bulletin today. Matthew 10:16 says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." Now, what does it mean to be a sheep among wolves? Now, it doesn't sound like a very good place to be. So let's unpack this metaphor a bit. Sheep are harmless creatures. They are, by nature, followers. Without their leaders, they can get lost. Remember the parable of the lost sheep? And we saw that cute little animation a couple weeks ago and how that sheep got lost in the forest and he was like, Wolves, on the other hand, are vicious predators. They won't think twice to pick off the weak and the strays. "Behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves" means to be thrust into danger, to be put in a place where threats are ever present, where people will try and tear you down. They won't think twice to eat you up. Going to college is like being sent out as sheep among wolves. No longer are your parents there to protect you. No longer can you assume that people have your best interests at stake. Going to college is a taste of the real world, a world, unfortunately, which is fallen, which by nature rebels against God. In college, you will be tempted with all kinds of temptations and falsehoods, right? A tiny bit won't hurt. Everybody's doing it. Nobody's watching anyway. It doesn't hurt anybody else. In college, you'll also meet all kinds of people who'd love to tear down your faith, right? The science professor who loves ridiculing religion and proving that the Bible is wrong. Or how about the liberal who will tell you how narrow-minded and bigoted Christians are and how we're all better off without religion. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, "Be alert and of sober mind. The enemy, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." Yes, the enemy, the great deceiver, is working in the world, working to separate us from the love of Christ, working to tear down your faith. Satan is real, and he has power in this world. Now, there's a line from the movie The Usual Suspects that I love. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled is to convince the world that he doesn't exist. I think this is so telling. We talk about God all the time, right? How powerful he is, how much he loves us. We sometimes forget that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. He is the ruler of this world, John 12:31. We oftentimes underestimate our enemy, and that leads to hubris, the sin of pride. Yes, the enemy is trying to tear us down. He's actively trying to tear us down. He is a predator, a roaring lion. Sometimes we need to recognize, and rightly, that we are sheep among wolves. And if that's not bad enough, that's not even taking into account all the other little battles that you'll face in college, the passive ones, the sin of sloth, all the little things that kind of get in the way of your relationship with God. I don't want to go to church. I want to stay out late and with my friends on Saturday night. I don't need to read my Bible. I already know what it says. I don't need to pray. I can take care of myself. You know, I'm smart. I can handle it. Does any of this sound familiar? Now, make no mistake. It is a battlefield out there and in here. Your faith will be tested. Not just some of you, all of you. And not just all of you, all of us, including me. Our faith is being tested every day. This is a fallen world filled with fallen creatures. This is a world where Satan is given power to test us and tempt us. Behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Now, what in the heck does it mean to be shrewd as a serpent? That doesn't sound like very good advice. Why would I want to be like a serpent or a snake? If there was some animal that we ought to be like in the middle of dangers, in the midst of wolves, shouldn't it be something wise? Right? Something with big eyes, something that's keenly aware of what's going on. Maybe an owl, right? Aren't owls known for being wise? But back in biblical times, the serpent was a symbol for cunning and wisdom. Do you remember how the serpent was described in Genesis 3 in the Garden of Eden? Scripture says the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field. And the Message translation says the serpent was more clever. Serpents are aware of what's going on around them, right? They listen by feeling the vibrations in the ground. To be shrewd as a serpent means to know what's up, to not be fooled or to be deceived by others. In fact, the ESV translation of our verse today says, be wise as serpents. So why is this good advice? What is this actually saying? It means we need to be careful. We need to be discerning of the dangers around us. So how can we be shrewd as serpents? Now let me suggest two ways. We need to have conviction and the need for critical thinking. Now the first one is straightforward, the need for conviction. We need to be sure of what we believe and why we believe it. The first is the content of our faith. Do you have conviction in what you believe? I believe in God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, born of the Virgin Mary. I believe he died and rose again and ascended into heaven. I believe that we are saved by grace through faith. I believe in God the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and sanctifies us to make us more Christ-like. I believe that Jesus is coming back to reign in glory and splendor. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. All right. We have to have conviction about what we believe. That's what all these years in church and Sunday school have been about, training up in righteousness and faith. Now, as you head off to college, you will be faced with doubts and questions. Can I really trust what I was taught? Is this all just make-believe? How can I know for sure that the Bible is true? Our strong faith needs to be grounded in conviction. Otherwise, when the doubts come, and they will come, you will crumble and fall. The one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, James 1:6. Conviction is being sure of what you believe, but also why you believe it. Is it simply because it's what you've been told to believe? Or have you really wrestled with these issues of life and faith? Do you actively ask, seek, and knock? Or are you the type of person who just wants the answers to just fall into your lap? Don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. Having faith doesn't mean simply tossing your brain out the window. It doesn't mean you can't ask questions. Faith seeks understanding. Think for yourself. Make your faith your own. Come to your own convictions. Christianity isn't something you're simply born into. You aren't a Christian because your parents made you go to church growing up. Being a Christian is about having a personal relationship with Christ. That means making your faith your own, choosing who or what you want to live for. Do you have conviction when it comes to the Lord and His Word? The second step to being shrewd as serpents is to exercise critical thinking. Now, critical thinking means being discerning, right? And not just taking things at face value, being gullible or blindly accepting someone else's word. Sorry to burst your bubble, but there are a lot of books out there with the label Christian, but they're not. There are a lot of churches out there claiming to be Christian, but the reality is some of them aren't. Some of those pastors out there are wolves in sheep's clothing. And what I mean by this is that some of them might sound Christian, but in reality, what they're preaching is not the gospel. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." Paul is talking about false teachers, about church as entertainment. Some churches might be really fancy. They might have professional worship leaders and fancy lighting effects. Right? The preacher might be up there in his $1,000 suit and his $1 million smile, telling you exactly what you want to hear. Some of these churches might make you feel really good, even get you on fire for God. But beware. See through that style and try to find the substance. What are they really preaching? Some churches say that being a Christian is about enjoying God's blessings, living your best life now. Right, some churches will imply that Jesus is just one of many ways to God, and God loves all people of all religions equally, that all faiths are just the same. Or some churches will make the subtle claim that the way to heaven is by doing good deeds, by being socially responsible, that the gospel is about us helping them. See through the style. Try and find the substance. What are they really all about? Is it the gospel? Now, I have a friend growing up. She grew up in a solid biblical church. And when she went to college, one of the first things she did was to look for a good Bible study group to attend. So she found one. And one night, she was at this Bible study group, and they were teaching things that just didn't seem right. They didn't quite line up with what she'd been taught to believe. They were saying all these strange things about angels and demons. They were contradicting the Bible. They were praying in tongues, and it just didn't line up. So this friend of mine, she was totally confused, and she went home that night and emailed her youth pastor from high school. She told him all these strange things that this Bible study group was teaching and doing and how it went against what she had been taught at church. And what do you think his response was? Stop going. Trust the Holy Spirit. So that's what she did. And I hope if something like this ever happens to you in the future, you know, feel free to email me or Pastor Walt. Behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves. So be shrewd as serpents. Know what you're getting yourself into. Realize that everything that claims to be Christian or biblical or God-centered isn't necessarily what it seems. Hold fast to your convictions. Exercise critical thinking. The last bit of advice, the last part of this verse, says that we ought to be innocent as doves. With all this danger lurking around, with all this discernment that we're supposed to be doing, how can we be innocent as doves? Now, what does this mean? Again, let's look at the imagery. How are doves described in the Bible? Doves are the symbol of peace, as mentioned in the story of Noah's flood, remember? Doves were the only clean bird that could be offered as sacrifice according to the Mosaic law. They symbolized purity. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove, symbolizing peace between God and man. The dove is the opposite of the serpent, who is cunning and shrewd and critical. The dove is trusting, open-hearted, and full of faith. To be innocent as a dove means to have simple, childlike faith. To be innocent as a dove means to come to Jesus as a child. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Matthew 19:14. But wait a second, Jim. You just said we had to be critical, that we had to test the spirits, that we couldn't just take things at face value. Now you're telling us to just accept things like little children? Now make up your mind, right? Which one is it? Well, you're absolutely right. But there's a difference between a childlike faith and a childish faith. A childish faith is one that's never really faced any hardships or trials. It's always had it easy, always been spoon-fed the right answers. A childish faith might know the Bible really well, get all the Sunday school answers right, but at the end of the day, a childish faith is built on a shaky foundation. It's never asked the hard questions. It's never struggled with real life. It's never seen God working personally. A person with childish faith is like someone who builds their house on sand. When the waves come and the wind blows, that faith will collapse. A childlike faith, however, is one who has been through struggles. A childlike faith perseveres and stands on firm foundation. A childlike faith has been through tough times and has found that through personal experience that the best answer is to turn to the Heavenly Father. Daddy, Daddy, what's the answer? To run to Jesus like a child, to trust in Jesus that he'll make good on his promises. There is a big difference between the two. Is your faith childlike or childish? Now, Karl Barth is probably the most influential theologian of the 20th century. A Swiss pastor and a German professor, he wrote during the time when the church was being corrupted and used to support Nazism. Now, Barth was one of the loudest voices against this move. He was also a brilliant theologian who wrote thousands of papers and dozens of books. He received 11 honorary doctorates. That's right, 11 honorary doctorates from universities all around the world. His magnum opus, The Church Dogmatics, is a staggering 6 million words, 10,000 pages. Karl Barth is often hailed as the most important theologian since John Calvin. In 1962, Barth visited the USA, lecturing at Princeton Theological Seminary and the University of Chicago. And on one of his trips, he was speaking in a lecture hall, and it was packed. And a student raised their hand and asked, "Professor Barth, what's the most important thing you've learned throughout your entire theological career?" And the crowd fell silent, and everyone perked up to hear what this great theologian would say. And he paused, and he answered, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Brothers and sisters, that's what it means to be innocent as a dove. You can know everything there is to know about the Bible. You can do all kinds of ministry and missions and whatnot. But at the end of the day, what really matters is the gospel. You can slice and dice and analyze and contextualize and chop the Bible apart. But at the end of the day, if you don't see that it's all about Jesus, you've missed the whole point. It's really that simple. Even a child can understand it. Behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Now this sermon, more than any other I've given to you, is very personal to me. I give you this message, graduates, with all my heart, because it's the kind of message I wish I had heard before going to college. I wish I had heard it and really understood. I wish I had taken my faith more seriously. I wish I knew what I was doing, but I didn't, and I can't. And hindsight is always 20/20. I had to learn things the hard way, and all I have left, all I can give you, is my story. Now, I graduated high school from Taiwan and came to Seattle to attend the University of Washington in 2001. I remember my first week here very vividly because I was so excited to be away from home, to live the college life that everyone was always telling me about, that the movies were always portraying as the best 4 years of your life. My dad dropped me off, and that was it. I was all alone. I was free to do as I pleased, free to finally live my life as I wanted to. Sundays rolled around, and in my defense, I did try to find a church to go to. Now, my youth leader from high school, he recommended me a church called ECC. So I went a couple times, but it was such a hassle trying to find rides there because I didn't have a car. I didn't even know how to drive. Waking up on Sunday mornings was hard, especially if I was out late on Saturday night. And when I did go, the college group there just felt so cliquey. They had all grown up together. They all had their own inside jokes, and I was clearly an outsider. So I found more and more excuses to stop going to church. Weeks went by, then months, then years, without picking up a Bible, without really praying. I wasn't part of any inter-campus fellowship group or anything like that. I was all by myself. The first 3 years of college was about hanging out with friends, playing lots of video games, skating by in classes with the least amount of studying possible, partying on weekends, living for myself. I thought I already knew what the Bible was all about. I didn't have to go to church because I already knew what the pastor was going to say. It wasn't until my senior year that God broke down my arrogance and pride. God showed me how selfish I was, how empty and meaningless my life had become, how foolish I was for thinking I had it all figured out, how hard my heart had really become. So for the first time in years, I picked up my Bible and began to read it seriously, not just cherry-picking what I wanted to hear, but allowing God to speak into my life. That's when I realized what it meant to have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If he was truly the good shepherd, I had to follow like a sheep. If he was truly my master, I had to obey like a servant. If he was truly my Lord, I had to live like a disciple. Seniors, graduates, brothers and sisters, don't waste your life. College is what you make of it. You will have amazing opportunities to do great things for the Lord. You'll be able to meet and make lifelong Christian friends. You might even meet your future spouse. You can learn so much. Don't waste your life. I lost 3 of my best years, and the scars on my heart run deep. I know it's cliche, but it's true. I don't want to see you making the same mistakes as me. Stay faithful to the Lord. For the rest of you, although this sermon might have felt like it was directed to the graduates, I hope you realize that this word is relevant to us all. In fact, this verse was originally Jesus' exhortation to the 12 after he had handpicked them and sent them on their mission. Behold, I send you out as sheep among wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. The word of the Lord. Yes, okay. The words of our Lord. I think we can all learn something from this. We live in a world that is hostile to the truth, to the faith, to Jesus Christ. So now I'm going to invite the pianist to come up and play a little music. And let's take some time to pray and reflect on our own walk, our own battles, what came before us and what lies ahead of us. Remember that we are sheep among wolves. Think about how we can be shrewd as serpents, yet innocent as doves. Take comfort in the fact that the one who sends us is the Good Shepherd. Let's end with a prayer. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all of God's people said, Amen.